Congrats. All right, we're now joined by the race winner of today's Freight Racing 208 at Atlanta Motor Speedway and the driver of the number 7 Spire Motorsports Chevrolet Silverado, Kyle Busch. Kyle, second straight truck race win here at this event. If you could just briefly start us off by going through your thought process and maneuvers that ultimately led to you inching out the 52 at the end.
Yeah, it was pretty dicey there towards the end, and good show for the fans, and was great to be able to finish a super speedway race without a slew of cautions and crashes, you know. So good race in there. You know, that inside lane materialized. I don't know where it came from or how, but those guys kept working and getting each one of them that kind of led that line, got cycled to the lead, got up to the front, and then I was able to kind of do a move from second to first to cut them off and get back up to the front each time. And there at the end, I chose the wrong line off of two, coming to the white flag. I should have stayed low in front of Friesen, I believe it was, and I went to the top because I thought the top would have the run off of two, and that's how Friesen got by me. And then I was kind of nervous that I wasn't getting enough energy from behind. Those next couple trucks from behind me were getting kind of slidey and fading back and getting gaps and wasn't able to push me forward, but got enough there down the back stretch and a good push from the 44 truck to get myself into three, far enough alongside a 52. And then it was just a drag race on who was where and what was going to happen on the way back to the line. So great day for us and our Gainbridge Chevrolet, proud to win a race for Spire Motorsports in a truck series, and we got four more to go, so hopefully we can do it again.
All right, well, we're going to begin with questions. We're going to start off with Jerry over here, and then we're going to go to John Newby.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. So when you're out there from the driver's seat, are you, like, as you took us through this, it's easy to look back, but are you thinking about how to do this in the split second? Because it looked like you were just toying with these guys and letting them get ahead and then running them down and passing. It's like, oh, there comes Kyle again. So how are you manipulating the truck on the track to get those moves?
No, I was trying to hold that inside lane back. Each time it kept crawling forward, I kept trying to pull it back and then get the outside lane to push forward. And really, the outside just didn't stay organized enough. It was really dirty up there. We weren't clean and close and keeping the gaps and being able to push down a straightaway and get the big speed that we needed. So, that's what kept the inside. The inside was better organized, and they just kept being able to get up there. So I kept trying to slow it down, just couldn't do it. So I was just kind of like, okay, each time one of those guys gets up in front of me, then I need to make sure that I get back in front of them and to get back into control of eventually thinking that the bottom lane was going to deteriorate and fall off, which it never did.
We're going to go to John over here, then we're going to come back in the middle of Bob.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So Ankrum said after the race that this is kind of the closest thing that they have right now to an old school super speedway race. Obviously you've seen it all the different eras. I mean, how does it compare in your mind?
Yeah, I just said that in Victory Lane. Somebody asked me a question similar to that, and I was like, yeah, it kind of reminded me of being able to race in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and actually speedway race, you know? So that was pretty fun. You know, it kind of led itself a little bit that way. The gaps aren't quite as big. You know, you always want to try to keep the gaps close. So, you know, leapfrog strategy back in early 2000s or mid-2000s, I should say, was you could get enough of a gap where you could catch a guy and then slide back up in front of him and just kind of keep working your way forward with the gaps that were happening. But here the gaps were so tight, there really wasn't that that ability of being able to make that type of move.
Hit Bob and then Dustin.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Your first win in any NASCAR event since last April at Texas. I'm just curious, like, do you feel relief? And especially winning by inches, which you've been kind of bit by a couple of times since then.
No relief. Just, here to race, here to do a job and to go out there and do a good enough job. Thought that we had a really fast truck each time I was out front leading the race. It seemed like I could tow the lane pretty fast around the racetrack. So that's a kudos to the Spire guys and just the equipment that they brought for me to be able to race in. So just trying to do what I know how to do. And that's to race as best as I can with all these guys that we got out there and to go out there and try to win. So glad to be able to do that.
Dustin
Long, NBC Sports. There has been a good bit of talk this week about Daytona type of racing with luck or how much a driver has in their hands, and obviously it's been a conversation that's happened for years. And also, this is also, you know, so there's that discussion, and maybe there's some momentum building to something. This is also a year where NASCAR is looking at how the playoff champion will be crowned. How significant are these two things that are kind of, I guess, underlying everything in the sport, is maybe how Daytona could be raced and how the playoffs could look next year?
I feel like we're talking about completely different things. The speedway racing on the Cup side is the way it is. You know, it's three wide, fuel save until it's time to go and try to push. And when it's time to go and try to push, it becomes too wide because a lot of times the outside row can't keep up. But it's just bumper cars. It's 200-mile-an-hour bumper cars. And the guy fourth in line doesn't want to be fourth in line. He wants to be the front in line. So anybody's trying to move the lines to go forward to get towards the front, because that's your chance to win the race. First one to the finish line wins. So, but a lot of times we end up crashed, and we do it quite frequently. And as far as crowning the regular season,
I guess it's just for the entertainment aspect of it. There's so much, the viewpoint is there's so much with the entertainment with the Daytona type of racing as opposed to what allowing maybe what you guys can do. Is there as much of that there's the focus on entertainment and how the champion is crowned, I guess is how I look at that.
The point is last year Joey was a 15th place car and he won the championship based off of having some good races at the right time, but they capitalized on that. They did it. So it wasn't a skilled team that played throughout the whole year perfectly. Like, I would say Larson was probably a better team. I would have said the 45 was probably the best team there late in the going, you know. So they were more deserving champions when you look at the competition aspect of our sport. But when you look at how the rules are and everybody plays by the same rules, Logano got it. So it kind of is what it is. I don't know that the average viewer that tunes in for the Daytona 500 is going to pick up much difference in how you win a championship. They haven't been around the whole year and haven't watched how everything's materialized each week.
Do you feel like, I think back to your second championship, and look, I think you even said that you were the fourth best of those four that day, but you won the championship. And, you know, history is going to remember you as the champion, not as the fourth best. So I guess you don't even worry about that, or how do you look at that? Because you're a two-time champion, and again, maybe there was another year you felt like you could have been the champion and didn't get it.
Yeah, 2017, I could have been the champion. Truex was the best car all year, but we had him beat it at Homestead. Strategy came into play, and they jumped us on a strategy call. And then the next year, 2018, I was the worst of the four cars, and we ran fourth in the race. It was all four championship cars, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. So, and then 2019, you know, arguably we were just as good as the other Gibbs cars. The four car was fine too. But yeah, I mean, championships come in certain different ways. It's not always the same script each and every time. There's not a perfect way to be able to write the book, but you just have to go out there and let the book be written.
Come on back to Daniel.
Daniel McFadden at frontrunners.com. Kyle, were you impressed that this race was able to just go to distance with just one major caution for an incident?
Yeah, relatively speaking, yeah. I don't know what happened with Raja. I think he was on older tires and maybe got loose or got side drafted, sucked around, whatever. But that seemed to be the only incident for the day. But overall, good racing. It kind of seemed a little bit like the outside was more powerful than the inside. I think I remember there being a few more times last year where the inside could make some runs up through there with 8 or 10 trucks. This year it just kind of seemed like it was 3 or 4 trucks at a time, and that was about it. So it really kind of singled out quicker this year, I felt like.
Go to Steven here.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Kyle, last week at Daytona 500 Media Day, we actually talked about, and you kind of alluded to this a little earlier, the way old Daytona raced and how you could slide into the corner kind of beyond the limit of the tire and then slide up, find a hole in line, and race that way. Do you think in those last 20 laps or so that it maybe gave you a bit of an advantage over the rest of the field, especially considering that a lot of the younger drivers here have only experienced kind of that, you know, put to the floorboard, just run flat out speedway style racing?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. would say that experience can certainly be more beneficial than not. Anytime you're out there on the racetrack, whether you're at Martinsville or Atlanta or Daytona or California, I miss that place. Where else? Kansas? Who cares? Experience is experience. It's going to prevail more times than not.
And in the context of the Truck Series, you were part of another pretty exciting finish here 20 years ago. I know that your preference will always be for the old Atlanta, especially given the way that you could slide around there. But how did the intensity of those last 20 laps compare to the intensity of those last 3 years ago where you were on new tires and trying to get to the front in a limited amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, each race has a different character to it. So, this one was fun in its own way. The speedway aspect of it, of everybody in a line, and you're trying to protect yourself of staying as far forward in the line as much as you can, and then that inside kept coming through, and kind of that leapfrog deal that was happening there with the front cars. But, they're just vastly different. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, old Atlanta was fun for its certain particular ways, and, one of those cooler finishes was when I didn't have third gear in the transmission and was able to come back up through the field and blast by some guys on the outside with some new tires and then take the checkered. So, but this way was entirely different from that. But I feel like both had their own cool factor and put on a good show for the fans.
Thanks, Kyle. Congratulations.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up here with Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. You got a good push from Curry there at the end, but prior to that, it looked like you were able to retake the lead on your own. The 99 also seemed at one point in the race that he was able to do that, pass a car without help. Is that something that would have been possible here 3 years ago, right after the repave?
No. After the repave? Yeah, I think that sort of stuff would have happened. I think... again, situations, just how the race kind of played out, was you were able to kind of make those moves of getting those runs and knowing that you were clear of the inside, that you could side draft that outside row back a spot and get yourself back in front of it. Those were the move that I thought of to just kind of keep putting myself towards that leader on the outside spot so I could try to control that lane better and give me the best shot to win the race.
All right, Kyle. Well, thanks for coming in, and congrats on the win.
Thanks.